Amen. Well, we're going to talk more about restoration. This time we're going to center in on the joy of his salvation. The joy of his salvation. How many of you know you're supposed to be joyful in every aspect of your life and ministry in the kingdom? Amen. In the body of Christ. But how many of you know there's too many sad Christians? Sorrowful Christians, mad, messed up mentally, emotionally Christians. And so that's not supposed to be. We shouldn't carry the cares of this life, the burdens of our, you know, responsibilities in a dreadful, sorrowful, mournful mindset or mood. I got one amen, but thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody said, Lord, restore the joy of your salvation in me. All right, let's begin reading at Psalms 51. I'm going to read through verse 12. Psalms 51 is right there on the top of your handout here. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. So we see here David's repenting. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. So that's all part of that sin. And cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. Now this is a pattern we should practice to get clear. When our conscience and in our spirit and in our lives, if we had stepped across into the line of transgression and sin. I acknowledge my transgressions, plural, notice that, and my sin was always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and sin, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. That's the same for him today. And in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Notice he didn't say sadness, madness. Amen. That the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Praise God. Amen. And now, if you keep reading in that same chapter, 13 and 14, it gives you the reason why your joy needs to be restored. Because he said sinners will be converted. He will teach transgressors your way. In other words, I'll be a model and a messenger. Everybody say a model and a messenger. So that's what you and I need to be, a model and a messenger. Say it again, model and a messenger. So you need to be a model of how good it is and how glorious it is and how happy it can be to serve the Lord, how joyful it can be to serve the Lord. That's your modeling. Now, your messaging is your teaching, because you're teaching them by example, but you're teaching them when opportunities to come up to teach them. Why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? How come you never get involved in drama or depression? How come we always see you posting and saying positive things? Amen. You're modeling, but you're also teaching when the opportunity comes. When the opportunity comes, you respond. He also said, he and sinners shall be converted. In other words, I'm going to draw them by the Jesus in me. And the joy of Jesus in me, the joy of the Lord in me, is going to be attractive and colorful and alluring, that it's going to draw people. people are going to want what I have. You see the big picture now. Why do you need to have your joy of his salvation? Now, notice it's not yours, because you don't have any salvation worth anything. It's the joy of his salvation. His salvation is full of joy. Amen? Everybody see this? So we said before, these are days of restoration. This is a year of restoration. This is a season to be restored. You see here David's prayer of repentance. Repentance. Everybody say repentance. See, the Bible teaches repentance, not doing penance. Now, I know some religions teach doing penance or paying penance and doing all these works to try to make up and cover up and pay for their sin. That's not what the New Testament teaches. It's repentance. And the first milk bottle in Hebrew 6, it says that repentance from dead works is the first foundational thing and truth we should learn. You got to know how to repent, because you need to keep the joy of his salvation. You don't need to be cool. When you cooling off and calming down, there's a problem. Heaven, Houston, there's a problem. Amen. Because the expectation is we serve the Lord with what? Gladness. We come before his presence with singing, not sorrowing. Amen. We are supposed to live with joy in our Christian life and journey. Joy, we said, is the serious business of heaven. That's what Andrew Murray, quoting from him. Why? Because your joy is like a monitor, and it's a thermometer of your spiritual health and wellness. I'll say it again. Your joy level is a spiritual monitor and a thermometer of your spiritual health and wellness. If your joy is low, if your joy is empty, that's a problem. Heaven, Houston, there is a problem. Amen. See, sickness, we said, Satan, sin, sickness, sorrow, and shame can rob our joy if we choose to yield to it or Satan, or allow it to steal our joy. Because those situations doesn't mean that we have to lose our joy. But thank God our joy can be restored. Amen? Amen? And so in this case, David's sin of adultery and murder, if you go back and study, he committed sin. That's why I use the word sins. He committed adultery with another man's wife, and then he got involved and actually had him killed, or directed and controlled the battle that they were in to have him put on the front line, and then he said, withdraw from him. That was cold-blooded murder. This brother was wrong. And it caused him to lose his joy. Now look at Romans 6:14. I know we're working on a video, but I think we've got most of the scriptures printed out for you. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now that's the good news of the New Testament. Sin doesn't have to lord it over you. In other words, sin doesn't have to won't lord it over you. That means it won't dominate you and control you. When we say lord it over you, that means it dominates you and controls you. Sin doesn't have to hold you and harass you and keep you gripped. Amen. So they are synonymous with sin is, with Satan, sin, sickness, sorrow, and shame. Why is sin a big deal? Because sin lets the enemy in. And the enemy's out to rob you of your joy, because he knows that's a fuse to your faith. You know, when you get thrilled with the word and you're excited about the word, that's when it works for you. If you're trying to do this word and you're struggling and you're sad and you're moody and you're angry, then that's not real faith and expectancy, because hope is the blueprint or the the substance. Substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope, Bible hope is persuaded of something that's true. It's expecting something that's good, and it's excited and glad. That's the joy element. Hope and joy kind of run together, but they set up your faith to explode and move mountains. That's what Brother Hagin used to say in school. He said, get thrilled with the word, because it's the word that you get excited or get thrilled about that works for you. That's why I like it when in prayer, when Pastor leads prayer, we need to stay excited about restoration. Because if you don't rejoice and get excited about it, it won't work for you. It won't light your faith up. Everybody's faith needs to get lit up. And the fuse, I'll say it again, the fuse to your faith is the joy of the Lord. You get excited, you found it in the Bible, and you say, woo, woo, I don't have to be sad no more. Praise God. I'm going to believe and receive the joy of his salvation in my life. Woo, I don't have to be sick anymore. Because I saw it in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes we were healed, and you just thank the Lord that you are healed because you're excited about that promise. Somebody say glory to God. You're not trying to get healed and squinting your forehead and creating all kind of craters and wrinkles in your brain. Come on now, trying to get healed, trying to believe, trying. You need the joy. So what is sin? In the New Testament terms, it's one, whatever is not of faith is sin. See the scripture there, Romans 14:23. But who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat it from faith. Not eat from faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Now you got to realize this concept tied to that scripture. All sin is fear-based or fear-dependent. In this context of eating food, people weren't blessing their food. But how many know you got to bless your food in faith? Amen. That it's going to bring what? Strength and nourishment to your body to do what? To do your assignment, to do the gospel. If you, we were at Longhorn Sunday, we got blessed with a meal, and that steak, we call that steak and potatoes into the ministry. For the nourishment of my body, our bodies to refortify us with strength and energy to do the work of the ministry. Amen. You mad about what this ain't got to me? Oh, this is going to add 2 pounds to me. Well, you're eating in doubt. Now, you can be silly and go off the deep end, but you know what I'm talking about. You got to do all things in faith. See, it's fear, all doubt and disobedience is fear-based or fear-dependent. So fear and guilt become joy replacements. And you serve God based on religious tradition and not right to have a righteousness consciousness. You have a sin consciousness. I'm trying to make up for this sin. I'm trying to make up for other people's sin. I'm trying to make up for what's wrong in my family, what's wrong in my situation. You're not operating based on what's right with God. What's right with Jesus and what he has done for you and me through his death, burial, and resurrection. You're not operating based on that. You're operating based on all the mistakes and the sin and the problem. And that's doubting that God's word even will work, because you got to work it yourself. And it's called performance-based or religious tradition, or trying to do it by works and not by faith. Works of the flesh. You know what I'm talking about. Not works of faith. Amen. Amen. And so you're going to continue to pile down that road driven by guilt and fear. Now notice this in Revelation 21:8. Notice fear and unbelieving is before abominable and murderers and whoremongers. But all the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers, what? He said fearful. People full of fear. People unbelieving. and sorcerers and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, praise the Lord. Now there's people that teach that there's no hell, but this is the words of Jesus. These are words through the Apostle John. Jesus talked about hell more than anything else. Amen. So I figure he talked about it and told, he wasn't telling whopper tales or figurative speech. He was telling the truth. Amen. How many believe Jesus? Second definition of sin is showing favoritism or being prejudiced or partial is sin. Now, the context was in the church among the brethren. So if we act discriminatory, prejudice, show favorites to just certain group or clique of people or a certain age, stage, or classification of people, and or show a partiality to a certain color or culture of people, then we commit sin. We're supposed to treat each other as one. Amen. And not show preferential treatment to one or the other. James 2:9, Passion Trace said, when you show prejudice, you commit sin and you violate this royal law of love. Remember Romans 13:8, we shared it last time. Owe no man anything but to what? To love him. He doesn't say love just to see people of the same color or the people of the same culture or people of the same class or to see people of the same family category. Amen. He said love one another. That's a verb, not a noun. That's an action word. That means we got to love each other from a pure heart, not a partial heart, fervently. Amen. So what happens when you don't, you end up showing preferential treatment. You end up fellowshipping only with the people you like and look like you. You show favorites. And you can have what we call racism in the church, discrimination in the church. Number three, all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin that leadeth not to death. Praise the Lord. Number four, violation of light is sin. Now, this is a big one because everybody needs to comprehend and understand this. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good, notice he's talking about you individually. You know to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So let's just, if we lined up everybody against the wall, so to speak, and you know, you start each one out with different levels, because we all came in the body of Christ at different times and under different circumstances. And so when we came into the kingdom, we were babies. We were born again, baby Christians, right? And so God gives us light through his word and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, to walk in, to grow up spiritually. Now what happens is it's your responsibility to walk in that light. Now, what if you stop walking in the light that you've been given? Case, classic point, one gentleman with another gentleman who had the revelation. He got a revelation that, you know, I'm free from cigarettes. Well, he walked in the light and put away the cigarettes because he had a revelation. Remember, revelation leads to transformation and results. It's a revealed word that brings faith. And you see that lit, he saw it lit up in the word to him, and he was able to put away his cigarettes. Well, somebody else coming into the kingdom may still be challenged with cigarettes. Well, you can't judge them and say, well, put away your cigarettes. You got saved. That's usually what legalistic or religious tradition people do. Put away this. Start behaving right. Well, they don't know it yet. Amen. We've seen people who got the light that, hey, It's sin to live with another person not being married. And they got born again and they walked in the light and they said, wait a minute, we can't be living like we married and we not married. They walk in the light. But some people ready to hit them on the hammer, on the head, you know, just because they come in the kingdom. Now, y'all got to move out. Y'all can't do all this. You know, I've been around for a while, so I've seen. And some folks get all trying to beat them over the head. They hadn't got the light yet. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the light you've been given, the light revealed to you, must be walked in and obeyed. Brother Hagin's example was so profound to me because I still remember it. He talked about when he first became a Christian and he promised the Lord. Now, notice that's all of our promise, whether we've made it or not. He said, everything I see in the Word, because I'm going to start in the New Testament because he was sick. He was young, still in bed fast. And he said, everything I see in the Bible, I'm going to promise to do. I commit to do. Now, how many know that's our responsibility, whether we assumed it and laid hold of it or not? When we hear it, truth, when we read truth, we are responsible to act and accordingly with that truth, to walk in the light of that truth. Are you listening to me? So when you learn the light of you got to pray, then you cease to pray at a point, you're going to be held accountable for not praying. Now, he started reading, and he was so thrilled with it. He said, I got so thrilled with the Word and excited. I was excited about the cover of the Bible. The table of contents was exciting to me. And so he started at Matthew because the New Testament. He said, well, I don't know how much time I got left, so I'll start with the New Testament. That's the covenant we live in. And so he started the New Testament, got to Matthew chapter 6, and saw where it says, don't worry. And he said the light went off. Because he said, I don't know if I can do this. And the light went off. And he said it took him almost 6 months to get the lights back on. Because he said his grandmother, his mother were world champion warriors. And they bred that into him. And so he said, I don't know if I can ever stop worrying. And practice worrying. Well, how many know, when you don't walk in the light goes off. Some people say, well, I'm waiting for a new word. I'm waiting for a new word. What about the old word that you got? Some people say, well, I want the Lord to tell me. No, he told the church, which is you, that this is a season and a year of restoration. Walk in the light of that word. Somebody say, glory to God. Here's some facts about sin. Number one, sin always deceives. You can't play with it. Don't play with it. It's gonna bite you with deception. It takes you further than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than you wanted to pay. Sin always deceives. Tell somebody next to you, say, sin always deceives. It always tempts you and entice you that it's going to be something temporarily good for you. Now, there's pleasure in it because you can go out there and mess around and do all kind of wrong things. But it's going to deceive you because it's going to cost you. To sin and to operate in fear is expensive. Number two, sin breaks fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship. You spiritually disconnect and separate from God's presence, power, peace, protection, and provision. Now, Isaiah tells us that the arm of the Lord is not too short. He can't save. And his ear's not closed up, he can't hear. But he said, your sins have separated you. Sin breaks fellowship, not relationship. Only God can break off the relationship. But sin breaks fellowship. And this fellowship is a word, koinonia, as we'll see in John, 1 John, when we read that, it is a partnership, it's a communication, it's a mutual sharing. Sharing of what? God's presence. Sharing in what? God's power, God's peace, God's protection, and God's provision. You need that. We all need that to maintain our joy level. Because it's in his presence, there's fullness of joy. That's what salvation includes, access to the presence of God and the power of God, the peace of God, amen, the protection of God and the provision of God. That's what fellowshipping with God in the context of salvation includes. Amen. Does everybody get this? Getting this? The wages of sin, number three, is death. Romans 6:23 says it. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God. So what do you pay for sin? Death. That's a New Testament scripture. Amen. Spiritual death is the first death experience, that which is separation from God, that we just read it and talked about it. Fourth, God does not tempt us to sin. Some people says, God just tempted me. Well, let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to nail it in the coffin right now. God just trying to show me something. What are you saying? God's tempted me. God's just trying to teach me something with all these problems. What are you saying? God's tempting you. God must want me to go through this so I can get closer to him. No, what are you saying? God's tempting me. God must be trying to tell me something with all these problems and pains and predicaments that I'm experiencing. What are you saying? God is tempting me. And see, Satan is the tempter. And sin is the deceptive act that he wants you to do. And he wants you to believe that God is tempting me. Why are you allowing me to go through this? What are you saying? Translation, interpretation. God is tempting me. Why is this taking so long? Why isn't God doing anything about this? What are you saying? Translation, interpretation. God is tempting me. Let no man say, that's why we got to watch that. We got to take into context of the last lesson. We got to have faith language about everything. How we speak and how we respond to things is so critical. He says in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Now, God calls temptation evil. God doesn't mess around with evil. He's already categorized temptation is an evil thing. And God does not touch evil things and deal in evil things. Are you listening to me? You see the word there? Everybody follow along? Neither tempteth he any man. So nobody's gotten tempted by God. Nobody can accuse God of tempting them. He said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's an animal trap term. That means Satan sets the trap and the bait to hook you in. He hooks on your own lust or desires, you know, if they're not disciplined and controlled by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And they say, when the lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, that's a picture of a baby birthing a child. Sin gets the sin is like the seed that gets pregnant in the mother. And when sin is finished after the birth, it bringeth forth what? Death. So God doesn't tempt us with sin. God doesn't tempt us. He calls temptation evil. God only tests us to enable and empower us, our faith, to trust him on a higher level. He will test you, but he will not tempt you. But he's testing your faith to trust him on another level. He challenges you to expand and enlarge your belief and trust in him. You got to accept those challenges. Because if he wouldn't test you, if he knew you couldn't pass the tests. This is good stuff tonight. Amen. So Satan tempts us to sin. Sin separates us from God. and that allows Satan to take away our joy. Now, some people want to typology the sins. Two of them that's commonly referred to as sins of omission. That means you're delayed in your obedience. You know what God's told you to do, but you're just not doing it. Being unfaithful, because the standard of the citizens of the kingdom of God is faithfulness. The expectation from our Lord Jesus Christ is to be and remain faithful. Amen? Or you're being slothful or lazy, idle, and negligent. You know you're supposed to be doing this. You know you're supposed to be practicing spiritual discipline, but you're just lazy. You won't do disciplines. Prayer, reading the Bible, that kind of stuff. All right. And then there are sins of commission. Deliberate disobedience, rebellion, and refusal to obey. Willful sin and wrongdoing. You know it's wrong. Now, those of you that's coming to the meeting, you know, I sent you 4 podcasts, and one of them talks about why won't people pray. And one of the things he prefaces, I believe it's on that one. It could be on another one of the ones. But he said there was a pastor who knew better, and another pastor's wife. They were good friends, and they ended up. This pastor got an affair with this pastor's wife, good friends. He said, well, and Dr. Brooks asked him, why'd you do that? Why'd you get, you messed up 2 churches. You messed up so many things. And he said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I got to the point where both of us, we got to the point to where he said they didn't fear the consequences of sin. Why? It was deceptive to them. They committed the act deliberately, knowing it's wrong. Amen. Well, we know it's wrong. Many of us have grown in the love understanding of the love of God to a degree that it's wrong to hold grudges. It's wrong to refuse to forgive. But sometimes we do it anyway. That's a committed act of sin. Are you listening to me? All right, praise God. I know this is not a jumping around, running around part, but we're trying to get our joy back. Amen? Our goal is to get the joy of salvation back. Now, there's 3 major categories of sin. Let's go through these real quick. Number 1, sexual sins. We got them listed there, adultery. That's sexual intercourse outside of lawful marriage. You're not married. You're not supposed to be having sexual intercourse. Amen. I know. They say, well, that's tough, Pastor. No, it's tough love. Just add love on the end of it, okay? Fornication, which is sexual immorality. See, sexual intercourse can be had by people, but fornication is sexual immorality or sexual perversion. In other words, it's perverted sex. It's not normal. It's abnormal. And that's everything from, you know, masturbation to pornography and lesbianism, homosexuality, all that kind of stuff. All right, unnormal. Uncleanness is moral impurity. That means you're just morally impure, always talking sexually in the gutter, so to speak. Lewdness, unbridled lust, shameful sexual looseness. You know, you got to be cautious of the fact that you shouldn't dress to appear and promote your sexuality. I'll just leave it right there. I don't have time to explain too much on that. Amen. Praise God. All right. Number 2, spiritual sins. Spiritual sins are idolatry. Now, what is idolatry? Because idolatry, says in 2 occasions in Ephesians and Colossians, is to covet, or covetousness, it says, which is idolatry. So we don't necessarily bow down to and worship a statue or image standing up somewhere. But what do? But we serve money. We live selfishly. We are materialistic, and that becomes our object of worship. Some people worship their kids so much, they always talking about and promote them, and they do anything for them, but they won't do nothing for God. Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep going. I mean, they sacrifice for their children, trying to make them what they wanted to be because they worshiping their children. Well, supposed to worship God. Supposed to love your children. Praise the Lord. So sorcery, hatred. Well, some people say, well, what's harboring unforgiveness and withholding love or refusing to love is the beginning of hatred. Once you harbor unforgiveness and hold people outside of love, then that's the starting point of hatred. That's a spiritual sin. And see, God told Brother Hagin, God will judge you. The Lord told him in the vision he appeared to him, God will judge you quicker over spiritual sins than sexual or social sins. Amen. Well, you think about the idolatry. You saw Achan got killed real quick, him and his whole family. You see Ananias survivor drop dead in church because they withheld the tithe and the offering. That'll keep the tithing percentage pretty high, I think, today. The rich young fool. Remember, he built all his barns and expanded and constructed new holding places for all his money and all his stuff. And he said, what shall I do? And then God spoke to him right away and said, thou fool, your soul will be required of you tonight. You're not even having another day. That's why obedience with $10, $5, $100, $1,000, $10,000, like Brother Steve said during the offer, it is so critical to obey the word and the leading of the Holy Spirit concerning your money. Amen. You don't want to be run up against a wall when you need God to intervene, and he said you weren't faithful with the money. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Social sins. So these are usually in the context of other people. You're impacting or affecting negatively. You're affecting or impacting people negatively. So outbursts of wrath. So you got a temper tantrum or temper problem, anger issues. You don't have selfish ambitions, which is really strife in the King James. But that's selfish. Just you all in about you, your three favorite people. Dissensions, disagreement, and quarreling, because sometimes we don't really commonly say these words. That's why I define them. Disagreement and quarreling. That means you got a fight spirit. You're always fighting people. You're always fussing with people. You're always fretting among people. Got a complaint. Got to cry about something. Always got to complain about something. Always got to criticize something. That's a dissentive spirit. Heresies, denial of revealed truth, envies or murderers, drunkenness, revelries, that's carousing, rioting, wild, indulging, noisy partying, going out to parties and just letting everything loose. Well, somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. So don't give up the joy. Now let's read these scriptures as we wind this down. Everybody good? 1 John 1, we'll start with that which is from the beginning, that we heard, which have seen with our eyes, we have looked up, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Life was manifested, and we've seen, and bear witness, and declare unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest to us. And that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, notice this word, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the subject matter is fellowship, staying in fellowship. And these things we write unto you that your, why did they say these things? That your joy may be full. So we get an indication that joy is a key factor that we can measure our fellowship by. That your joy may be what? Full. This is the message we've heard from him and declared to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship, there it is again, with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Why? Because sin breaks fellowship. Amplified says sin, its forms and manifestations. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you that so that you may not sin. Now, may not means you don't have to. You've been delivered. Sin shall not have dominion over you. So if you sin, it's an act of your will. And you're yielded submission to it. Amen. And commission of it. And anyone sins, he have an advocate of the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself, that means an attorney for our defense. And he himself is the propitiation, that means the atoning sacrifice. Atoning sacrifice just means that means he reconciles the differences. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. So this passage of scripture revealed to us our Lord's admonition that we remain in fellowship with him and have abundant, how much? Abundant joy. That our joy may be full in our walk with him. So the message, what is the key thing? Stay in fellowship, stay full of joy. Very simple. In our walk with him, in our worship to him, in our service and work for him. These three things relative to sin, there are three things that are relative to sin that will keep us from experiencing the full benefits of the life of Christ. We forfeit our joy. That means you give it up. When we, number one, deny the power of sin. You can't fuss, cuss, come on now, and act with disgust and feel like, well, I ain't got to talk to because everybody knows I was having a bad mood. I was having a bad day. So you can't, we often claim one thing with our words, but are condemned by our lives. And now we don't have time to talk more about that whole condemnation part, but maybe the Lord allows us to talk a little bit more next week about it. Walking in fellowship with Christ results in being continually cleansed from our sins. How? By walking in the light. As verse 7, as he is in the light, we have what? Unbroken and continued fellowship one with one another. That means if I'm coming at this brother, I'm coming in joy. I'm worshiping God. Enjoy. I'm serving the Lord, whatever I'm volunteering or doing in the church, I'm serving with gladness and joy. Are y'all here with me tonight? You can't deny the power of sin. Because sin lets the devil in, and the devil robs you of your joy. See, when we're cleansed from the guilt and stain of sin, we have fullness of joy in the Lord. Amen. See, when yielding this to sin, listen to this, you permit Satan, darkness, and death to begin. To crush your joy, to control your thoughts through doubts and fear and unbelief, and to contaminate you with guilt and shame. Guilt knocks you down, shame keeps you down and keeps you away. That's why people's church attendance drop off. It's a problem. Heaven, Houston, there's a problem. There's sin. People can't rejoice and get into praise and worship. Why? Heaven, Houston, there's a problem. And then number two, denying the presence of sin. Deny the presence of sin. You forfeit your joy when you deny the presence of sin. Now, Satan's waiting for you to get up in the morning and his cohorts and his demons, and they're trying to tempt you. The Bible calls it wiles of the devil. The Bible calls it fiery darts from the wicked. The Bible calls it the evil day. And we have to stand against sin. Jesus had to resist sin just like he resisted Satan. Hebrews tells us he resisted sin to the shedding of blood. We know he did that in the Garden of Gethsemane because it was a sin for him to step out of the will of God and do his own will. And he had to go back in there three times and say, not my will, but your will be done. Because sometimes your head and your booger head, your self-defense mechanism will rise up and want to stay and do what you want to do. And stepping out of the will of God and stepping out of God and the love of God is sin. Is everybody seeing this tonight? You got to be yielded to the Lord. And he had to yield all the way to the end because he was tempted in the garden. He said, don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels? But he had to break through his willpower, his soul, to the point where he sweat blood. The medical term is called thrombus. And he was sweating great drops of blood. Why? Because he didn't want to change from what God had him to do. And so he did not deny the presence of sin. Sin was trying to get Jesus to step out of the will of God. Satan was, brother. Amen. He tried to get him to do that in the wilderness. He tried to get him to turn stones to bread, get him to do this. But he would, if he had done what Satan wanted to do, he would have yielded to temptation and sinned. But he passes it. Everybody said, thank you, Lord, for passing the test. So because he came, you and I can overcome temptation and sin. I don't want you to leave here sin conscious, but righteousness conscious. And knowing that Jesus is my Lord, overcame so I can overcome. When I'm in the fire pressure cooker of temptation, God will make a way for me to escape the pressure. Now listen to me, not escape the temptation so that you can endure it. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. You got to think that God wouldn't let me be in this if he knew I could not handle it. And he'll make a way of escape for you to be able to bear it and endure it cheerfully. Endurance is not just, oh, I don't know when the money's going to come, when my finances are going to get right. No, you done already went to the dark side. But that attitude, death is already encroaching your landscape. Remember, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. Amen. Are you listening to me? Everybody should be really focused on your joy monitor and your joy thermometer. Because if you don't have your joy full, then you're too low. And so you can't deny the presence of sin. So the cure for sinfulness is not denying our sin, but relying on God, the faithfulness of God to forgive us in the basis of our death, Christ's death on the cross. But that's just your inheritance. Amen. See, the law of sin and death is still here, and the death cycle can be accessed just as the life cycle can be accessed. Now, he told us to confess our sins in verse 9. Sin goes out by the way of the mouth. Righteousness comes in by the way of the mouth. Now, you can deny the presence of sin when you don't acknowledge that you stepped over into it. Some people wait 2 or 3 days before they repent. You got to be quick to repent. Amen. Amen. To confess means to acknowledge, to admit, and agree with God. God, you're right, I'm wrong. That condemnation came up in my spirit. My heart condemned me about this. I know from the inside, not from the outside, from the inside of my heart, that this isn't right. The way I talked to that person wasn't right. The way I treated that person wasn't right. The way I talked to them over the phone wasn't right. What I posted on social media or said something about somebody wasn't right. Amen. He's tempting you to sin so he can get in and rob you and steal your joy. You deny number three. Time for me to close. Deny the practice of sin. Pride is the strength of sin. Because some people think, well, I'm going to act in religiously pious and act like I've not done nothing wrong. Well, if you ain't got no joy, something is wrong. If you're not being a model of joy, the Jesus' joy, and a messenger of that joy through joy, then something's wrong. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth told the lady one time who was watching him when he was doing plumbing work over a house, and she kept peeking in the room, looking at him. He said, "What's that on your face? You all lit up joy." He was modeling. But he turned around and gave her a message. He said, I didn't get this from them. I got this from above. And he told a story about how him and his wife laid hands on their kids, and they were sick, and they got healed. And she said, "I want that joy." That's what we should have, people running around saying, "I want that joy." Are you listening to me? And then he prayed the prayer of salvation with her, and she received Jesus as her Lord and personal Savior. And then he said, and she lit up like a Christmas tree. Whew, joy came through. And then he said, "Listen, sister, the only way you keep this joy is you got to give it away. You got to be a model and you got to be a messenger." There's no covert Christianity, no closet Christians. You're supposed to be a light of the world. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth. You're supposed to be a beacon of hope for Jesus to the world. Amen. So pride won't do it. So strength of pride even denies sinning and delays repenting. Why won't you repent when you cuss and fuss your husband out or wife out? Or your kids? Why does it take you 2 or 3 days? Pride. Don't want to admit it. Don't want to acknowledge it. Don't want to quit it. Praise God. This is good, Pastor. You're doing real good tonight. I encourage myself in the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, pride delays sinning, denies sinning, and delays repenting and confessing sin, even though joy is lost and sadness and madness and sorrow rules. Joy in Jesus is a monitor, a barometer, a thermometer of our fellowship with God and with others. If the joy is gone, then something's wrong. Our joy level is a great indicator. See, if we lose your joy in the Christian life, examine these three statements we just made. You got it right there. You can keep this with you, of course. Chances are you'll find the reason your joy has been short-circuited. Then simply reconnect to the source of joy. Amen. And your spirit will be restored. Guys, we need to do this and practice this. Don't beat yourself up because you messed up. Admit it, quit it, forget it. Amen. And get your joy back. Right. Amen? Yeah. Remember, gladness is how we're to serve the Lord. Cheerfulness is what qualifies our giving and praise to be acceptable. We got the scripture references. And joyfulness is what helps us deal with problems. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, stand with me, please. Praise God. Joy is the serious business of heaven. And God wants us restored in our joy to where you go back to even better from when you first got saved and first got born again. You knew you were on fire for God. You thought about God. Your mind was on God. You talked about God. You talked about the Lord. But so what happened? We lost our joy because we yielded to sin and we let the devil get in. Come on, let's just consecrate ourselves as we get ready to close tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you.